Well, members of the wheat community recently hosted the 2016 Oklahoma Wheat Review held in El Reno, Oklahoma. Speaking there was Chandler Gould, recently hired CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers. Chandler sounds like a busy man as of late. While he and other association executives already have the 2018 Farm Bill on their minds. We caught up with Chandler for just a few minutes to discuss how he and his members are preparing to make sure that their voices are heard during this Farm Bill process.
Well, we're here at the 2016 Wheat Review here for Oklahoma, and we're standing here with CEO of National Association of Wheat Growers, Chandler Gould. He's been on the job for just a few months now. Chandler, how's everything going so far?
Well, so far, everything's going really well. Like you said, I'm about 6 weeks into the new job and slowly making my way around the country to meet with wheat growers. I've already been in North Carolina, Nebraska, and this week I'm in Oklahoma to sit and talk about one of our favorite issues, the upcoming Farm Bill, and how to prepare for it.
Right. I've heard that topic pop up in a lot of discussions recently. What is NOG doing right now? What are some of the things you're wanting to get accomplished there?
So we, as the staff of NOG, have already put together a strategic plan to work through our committee so that brings in all 22 of our state affiliates. And then at our fall meeting in November, which will be held in Denver the first week, to come out with high-level resolutions. And when I say high-level, I mean like at 50,000 feet. Things like, do we want to continue to support ARC and PLC? Do we want to continue to support the nutrition title being with the Farm Bill programs? Do we want to continue to support CRP and CSP? So high-level issues. And what we're doing is setting the stage so that when we come back in January to the winter meeting, we can drill down a little further and put a little more meat on those bones. My expectation and guess is that we will start seeing field hearings or some type of hearing process as early as February or March in Washington, D.C., and we need to be prepared.
Okay. And what are some of the things you're doing to prepare for that? Are you working with other associations to get involved in that, or what's that fight looking like right now?
We are. You know, last Farm Bill, there was a lot of I hate to say it, but there was a lot of infighting among the commodity groups. And so we've already sat down and have said, you know, that is not the best way for us to move forward and to promote the Title I programs as well as the crop insurance program. So at least once or twice a month, corn, soy, wheat, and Farm Bureau have been sitting down for lunch and discussing where we are with our members, you know, coming out to Oklahoma, Nebraska, and North Carolina. I can come back saying I've now met with at least three of my states. Here's where I see us going and finding things that we can agree upon so that we can make this next Farm Bill be a little more smooth, have more cohesiveness, and I think that'll help us ward off those who don't support our family farmers and ranchers through the Farm Bill legislation like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Are you anticipating any threats that may come about that may fight against what you're trying to accomplish?
Oh, most definitely. You're going to have groups like the EWG out there that are trying to strip crop insurance away from us. You're going to have other organizations that want to put AGI limits on your ability to participate, whether it be in Farm Bill programs or crop insurance programs. And then you're just going to have those who just don't like the Farm Bill in general. And clearly these organizations don't understand that if without the Farm Bill, we cannot continue to supply or produce the safest food supply at the lowest cost to our consumers in the world. And so it really takes an education campaign of going into these urban areas and to some of these other groups to make sure they understand that the Farm Bill is here to help us during low market prices or through natural disasters. It is not a free handout. It is to keep you in business. And so there will continue to be attacks, and that's why we've already started working on a unified voice among the commodity groups.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're working towards this November election year. Y'all are doing some meetings with the different candidates that are running in the presidential race. Do you expect any help from either of those candidates in moving forward with the wheat agenda?
Well, like you said, we have met with the Hillary campaign, and next week we'll be meeting with the Trump campaign to talk about things, not just facing wheat, but rural America and agriculture in general. It's a group of CEOs that represent a wide brand of agriculture interest. And, of course, neither candidate or the Hillary campaign campaign was not non-committal, but at least we had an hour with them and were very understanding of the concerns that we had, whether it was about the clean water rule or about the importance of the next farm bill. And then I can report back to you sometime next week after we've met with the Trump campaign how that meeting goes. But we are making an effort to reach out to both presidential candidates to make sure that agriculture, rural America, is at the forefront of some of the things that they are discussing as they are on the campaign trail, and then whichever one should win the presidency, to make sure that we are prepared to be situated as we move into the next farm bill.
Mm-hmm. One issue that you touched on briefly during your discussion here today was TPP, which is, I know, something that both candidates have talked pretty strongly about. We've heard a lot on the cattle side of that thing, how that will impact that industry there. How's that going to impact us? What's the outlook for wheat?
Well, it's definitely going to be a positive for wheat. You know, opening up markets like Vietnam, which is somewhere we definitely see significant potential to export wheat to, will be a benefit. Unfortunately, the House of Representatives, or basically Congress, I guess you can't say just one side or the other, we haven't even done appropriations this year. The members will be coming back to Washington in September. They will either have to do a continued resolution or an omnibus bill. And really, I don't see any major legislation being completed until after the election, because no one wants to take a bad vote, or nobody wants to take a difficult vote right now. So depending what happens on November 8th, I think will determine what happens in the lame duck session. Though, unfortunately, right now, from reading the tea leaves, I still, regardless of what happens in November, I don't see TPP coming up as a vote, and that will most likely be pushed into the next Congress.
Mm-hmm. And last thing for you, being CEO of your association, obviously you all are a grassroots organization. You get the marching orders from the ground up. So you talked a little bit on NASS surveys. Tell us about that a little bit. What's the importance there?
You know, NASS surveys, I've been working in agriculture policy for 16 years, and no matter where I worked, farmers and ranchers, but this case is for farmers, don't like to fill out their NASS forms, and they don't want to tell the government, you know, what it is they're producing, how much they're producing. You know, those forms are also anonymous. And where we've seen the problem is, if you signed up for ARC County this year, there were several counties, especially in North Dakota, I know Deaf Smith County in Texas, where there weren't enough producers to fill out their NASS forms for them to calculate an ARC payment. So you had one county that received a pretty significant payout due to low revenue, and the county next to it, like Deaf Smith, received nothing because there weren't enough farmers that filled out their NASS forms. So until this next farm bill comes around and we can fix that problem or figure out a better way to calculate an ARC payment, it is extremely important that you fill out your NASS forms every year. Otherwise, you seriously could be jeopardizing your ability to receive an ARC payment should you qualify for one until this farm bill expires.
All right. Speaking with Chandler Gould of the National Association of Wheat Growers today, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, appreciate it, and always enjoy being on your show.